On the City Investing Show, episode 9, with your host Aaron Beal and Jason Lee. This week we are back with JP for round 2. The first one went a little long, but I didn't want to cut it off just because there's a lot to unpack there. But where we left off last week, if you didn't listen, is JP, you know, at some point quit his job, took on 3 pretty serious flips, you know, major rehabs. You know, what was supposed to take probably under 6 months ended up taking year and a half, almost 2 years. And he sold all of those. And between him and a business partner, they lost somewhere around $400,000. So we were kind of breaking down that. But on this, we, you know, one, want to talk about what happened after that. But also, obviously, there's a little more positive side of the story, or, you know, we wouldn't be back. But okay, JP, let's pick up where we left off. So I think we were talking, you were looking at spreadsheets, all that stuff. You sold these 3 houses, you and business partner, you know, accumulate decent amount of debt. You have, you know, some of that on credit cards, some of that with different private lenders. You know, where do you go from here? Like, kind of bring us up to speed.
Yeah. So we start at like closing of the last flip. I basically had to accept the losses and find out how much crap I was in. And it was basically 80K of credit card debt, owed private lenders about like 95,000 or so. And me and my business partner basically didn't end on the best terms. I mean, losing a whole lot of money doesn't equate to the best business relationship. So we ended up parting ways. And yeah, so from there, I mentioned that my wife had done a house hack while we were dating, and we basically held that as a rental throughout this process. And once we realized how much debt we were in and trying to figure out where the heck do we go from here, we decided to sell that rental property. And we got lucky with the market. And over the couple years that we owned all these houses, it went up a good amount, and we didn't spend much money on that one. So we were able to make like around $100,000 before taxes on that. So that basically cleared out all of the credit card debt for us. And we just owed the private lenders from there. And I was like, okay, I feel like I learned a lot from doing these flips, but obviously I'm not very good at it. So I'd like to learn more about it. Maybe do I try another one? What do I do from here? And I wasn't working my engineering job, so debating going back to that. So I was like, no, I wasn't happy there. Wanted to get deeper into real estate, and I was just committed to it at that point. I'd spent so much time learning about it and doing a whole lot of stuff. So I wanted to stick within the realm of real estate. So I got my real estate license and was like looking to do a little bit more retail stuff, try my hand at that, and eventually get back into the investing. So
cool. We're gonna go a little deeper here. So close these houses. You have a lot of debt. Why did you not just like crawl in a hole? I feel like that's like, I would have been like hibernating. Like, I would never want to look at a house again. Like, I probably would not want to be alive. One, like, what? Well, explain that. Like, what's going on in your head at that point?
Yeah, it was a whole lot.
Like, why do you keep getting into houses? Like, why do you keep going? Like, I mean, obvious, you know, I respect the hell out of you for all of this. And like, you could have, you know, let all these houses go to foreclosure. You probably financially would have been in a better situation. I respect that you didn't do that, but like, what does all that look like?
Yeah, so it was a whole lot of like recontemplating.
Why did your wife not leave you? Like, let's get into some of this fun stuff.
Yeah, Megan's definitely a trooper for sticking with me throughout that whole process. We had a whole lot of nights that were not fun, but ultimately came out the other side alive, and we still are together. So definitely love her and appreciate her for going through all that with me. And I got to buy her a whole lot more purses to show her my appreciation for all of that.
Yeah, you do. She's going to play that back to you a few times.
Yeah, she might. But after that last one and realizing what we owed and everything, I was like recontemplating my entire life, trying to figure out what I was going to do. And it was like, okay, I could go back to engineering, which I didn't love, and make some okay money and just suck it up for the rest of my life and not be happy. Or I was like, no, this stuff works. There's people making a whole lot of money, and I feel like I can be really good at it and there's like stupid people that are flipping houses and making money. So I'm like, I'm relatively smart. So I feel like I can do better than them, but I didn't get the best go at it. And then also the like run at like retail side of things. After you work with a whole lot of agents, you realize they don't really do too much. And if you go hard at that, you can probably do pretty well. So wanted to try my hand at all that. And I was like, okay, after looking at what we owe, I think I can make more than the $55,000 I was making at my job by doing miscellaneous real estate stuff and learn a lot along the way. So I'm going to go that route and then eventually going to see if I can try flipping a house again and going to do it right this time and see how it goes. So that's what was my decision-making process at that time.
Okay. So then you did the agent thing for a while, and then bring us kind of to your next flip and in that whole situation.
Right. So along that year, we closed Nottingham April 2022. So pretty much did the agent thing up until, I want to say, the end of 2022. And then I had been doing it for a little bit, made some money helping people find houses and stuff, and was still learning a lot about real estate investing alongside and waiting to take my chance at it again. And I saw you post about that deal, and you guys were basically looking to do like a handheld process where you help somebody flip their first house and you can provide resources, and it wasn't going to be the cleanest deal, but it should make some money. And I was like, hey, I'd be down for something like that. So that's the first deal that I got into after losing all that money on those flips.
Yeah. So what we kind of did is end of 2022?
Yeah.
So once the market kind of turned in 2022, Jason and I we flipped a lot of mobile homes, we're buying and selling a decent amount of houses, you know, 4, 5, 6 a month, whatever. But the thing that we were running into is like, we needed to be able to sell stuff faster because things were taking longer. Stuff was sitting on the market. We loved flipping mobile homes, but they were like impossible to sell to people, even if they're really good deals. And even to this day, I would say that's kind of true. Some people will buy them, but not the way that people will buy houses as far as like investors. So I just kind of randomly on a whim was like, we have this deal. I think it's a good deal. I don't really want to flip it. You know, what would it look like if, you know, we sold it, we, you know, wholesaled it to someone, you know, with the kind of the understanding of like, we'll pretty much make sure you make money on it, right? Like we will give you our contractors. We will walk you through the process. We'll be available for whatever, you know, through the whole thing. And honestly, we still do this now. And it's honestly more of a thing of like, it's cool to help people do their first project. We don't make a ton of money on it other than, you know, we make an assignment fee, which we could make without helping people. But with that, you know, we kind of said, hey, like, we're going to do this. And I just kind of like threw out an idea on Instagram, not really expecting any interest, which the times when I do that and expect nothing, it seems like people reach out. So I had a handful of people reach out, and JP probably like hit me up like 12 times a day. I was like, hey, I want this. Like, I want to do this. Like, you know, whatever. And then, which you never know, like I'd kind of known JP for a while. We went to the same church for a while when he was like 15 and I was like already like 30 or whatever. But so I like knew who he was like through a friend, and he had like hit me up a few times on Instagram, and I blew him off because like I don't ever want to get coffee with anyone. I don't want anyone to pick my brain. Sorry, JP. But then if I'm like selling something and you want to buy it, then I'm interested, right? So he kind of, you know, showed interest in this and was the first person to reach out. So I was kind of like, whatever, let's hop on a call. And then you kind of explained your whole situation of like, hey, I've gotten the shit beaten out of me on 3 flips and I want to do another one. And, you know, I think you like, I've been watching you guys for a while and I think you guys maybe know what you're doing. Like, I'd like to learn from you. So that's kind of how that started. And then, you know, he was jumped into this crazy mobile home, which wasn't near as straightforward as you'd want a deal to be. But one thing I'll say I really respect about JP is he jumps in. Like, there were so many times when like this, I mean, it wasn't the worst deal, but there were just a lot of messiness. Like, the seller was supposed to leave immediately and he didn't want to leave. And then, you know, the house also kind of like doubled as a junkyard But the whole time we're like walking through this and I'm like, he is probably freaking out right now. And I think there's probably some of that, but you know, you kept your cool, pretended like it's normal to have 400 tires at a house and 20 junk cars and whatever else. But that's how, yeah, that's kind of how we met and start, you know, kind of start working together. So, you know, we sold you this deal, kind of, you know, walked you through that process. If you want to jump into some of that and what,
yeah,
give us the other side of that. It's probably a right. different perspective than mine.
Yeah, I think a little bit inflated on me reaching out to you, but that's cool. I remember asking about the flip and then followed up with you a lot because you weren't responding. And I was like, this guy sucks. But then you were like, let's hop on a call. And I was like, okay. And then, yeah, from there.
This guy sucks. Thanks, JP.
I mean, after that, I was like, okay, this sounds like it'd be fun. And if you guys know what you're doing, which it looks like, and I'm going to be able to make some money on it, then yeah, let's go for it. And I was cool with y'all getting an assignment fee. I mean, you could have wholesaled it to anybody, but why not wholesale it to somebody and then help them along the way? Like, I thought that was generous of y'all. So I thought that was cool. And like, you were willing to meet me out there before I even bought it and like show me what you think it needed on a rehab and all those details. And I was like, okay, like he's actually like standing by this stuff. So I thought that was like helpful. And once I bought
that
deal.
And we walked through this house. We got to include some of the fun stuff. So we walked through this house and it's like, so the guy tells us that he, which like now JP understands because he works for us and does acquisitions, but like dude told us he doesn't keep his money in banks. He keeps it in car parts and the whole house was covered in car parts. And he's like picking up like, hey, this fender, this is worth like $600. Hey, this is a really like rare wrench. Like this is a, you know, you can't get this anywhere. Like
he had
I collect Suzuki truck beds because like they're really hard to find. Like it was like, he was a character. And then like, you know, there was like no shower, just a hose. Like it wasn't your normal, like, you know, just paint this house situation.
For sure. And I remember he had like a car he was saying he can sell for $100,000, but we were getting the house for less than that. And it's like, why don't you just go sell your car, man?
Yeah. He kept telling us about this. Like it was like a cord from Japan or something. Like,
yeah.
And he's like, man, I've been offered so much money for this, but I just won't do it. It's all for my daughter.
Right. And so, yeah,
it was just a whole mess of a situation.
Imagine like a trailer on an acre and the whole thing's a junkyard. The entire inside of the house looked like half a mechanic shop. And then later on, I found out at the very back of the property, there was like a 400 tires like sitting in a pile. And that was, I think I counted 19 cars after he got all of his stuff out and said he was going to take a bunch of it, which he didn't. And yeah, left me with like 19 junk cars to get rid of. So
yeah. And this dude, he was supposed to be out in like a week and he kept like it was to the point we thought we were going to evict him. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is going to be a nightmare. And like, I can't just like let this be JP's problem. Like we got him into this mess. Like we're going to have to evict this guy for him and all this stuff. But he somehow got out eventually.
Yeah, I think maybe a month after buying it, he got out. And yeah, I was like, oh, okay, now he's officially gone. And he left a lot more than I thought behind. But we were able to start working on the house. And I don't know how deep you want to dive into that.
You can talk about as much as you want. Or, you know, we can kind of fast forward to the end and, you know, the result and what happened or whatever right. you want it.
Yeah, so that one, I guess I was buying for, what was it, like 105, maybe 115 ish, and I think 115 and original rehab budget on it was 45, and thinking I can sell somewhere in the low 200s on it. And then pretty much took, you gave me a whole lot of good resources on it, gave a lot of good guidance, and I was stressing a little bit about it, but ultimately I was like, okay, like compared to the extent of rehabs I'd done in the past, this one was like get all this crap out and then just a cosmetics remodel, so it wasn't too bad. And I think once it was all said and done, maybe took a couple months to get it finished. I guess I bought it December of 2022. I think it was fully completed sometime in February, and that rehab did go over, partially because I wanted it to look a little bit nicer, and then partially like unexpected stuff comes up. Like I remember the shower.
Well, some of the stuff was like clearing the yard or like landscaping and some of that kind of stuff too, right?
Right. So yeah, a lot of that. And I think once it was all said and done, I probably spent about 60 on it. So I guess I went like 15K over and ended up selling for somewhere in the low twos, maybe 225-ish. And I think I made about 26,000 on that once it was all said and done. So a whole lot better than the first few.
Better than negative.
For sure.
And one thing that, you know, I'll say that you were good about is there were a lot of things that, which we tell people this a lot, like when you're flipping a house, anyone can make a house look amazing with unlimited budget. You know, it's kind of figuring out what's worth spending money on, what's not. Like, do we upgrade this? Do we replace this? Like, everything doesn't have to be amazing. And, you know, a lot of times you don't have within your budget, you know, the ability to make to absolutely fix everything, which I'd say you have grown a lot in and have gotten better at too, of like, hey, like this one window needs replaced. Should we replace all the windows? And it's like, no, let's not do that, you know? Or, hey, like, should I, you know, put even things like, hey, should I put, you know, these extra 10 cabinets or over here or not? Like, it seems, you know, kind of insignificant, but it might be $2,000 or $3,000. So, and I think that's one thing that you've definitely, you know, kind of learned along the way too, of, you know, just trying to figure out where and how to maximize your budget, how to not over rehab things. You know, that's something that you've, you know, you weren't afraid to ask us for help and actually like do what we recommended, which, you know, I always appreciate. But let's backtrack again. What was your wife and family thinking when you're like, hey, I'm going to flip this junkyard of a trailer?
Yeah, I don't think I brought up how extensive the junkyardy the property was and all that needed. So I did have to do a whole lot of convincing with my wife at that time, but she'd seen me like do realtor stuff and she knew I eventually wanted to get back into it. And I love my wife and she's super supportive. And she was like, okay, if this is really what you want to do and you feel like it's going to go well, I know you didn't get the best go at it the first time and you think it's going to work, then okay, we can try it and see how it goes. And I bet if that one had gone wrong, then I really would have been like, man, am I going to try this again? But she was for it and you did awesome and were providing a great opportunity and we went for it and it worked out. So
awesome. So, you know, you became a trailer boy, flipped your first trailer. Where do you go from there? Like, what are you doing now? Like what, you know, sold a trailer, you know, or did you buy four more flips? Like what was that next step?
Right. So after that flip, pretty much was like May 2023, I guess. And when that one closed, and I think a month later, I guess it was around that same timeline, you guys were posted about like hiring an acquisitions manager. And I was like, oh, this process went good. These guys like are building a cool company and seem to know what they're doing. So I bet I could learn a lot from them. And I didn't love the retail side of real estate, helping people find houses and show them a ton of houses to not buy one. So I was like, I like the investing side a lot more. This flip went good. So I'd like to learn how to find deals and what it's like talking to sellers. And personally, I was like kind of nervous about that. And what is it like to negotiate a deal directly from a seller to make them a lowball offer? Are they going to tell you to F off? And like, how does that work? So really wanted to dive deeper into that and get out of my comfort zone and just grow. So when y'all presented that opportunity to do acquisitions with y'all, I jumped on that. And I guess, I don't know what made you guys want to hire me, but yeah, y'all took me on and been doing acquisitions and it's been a lot of fun.
Let's lean into some of that more. So the stuff about, you know, working with sellers, because I don't know if we had posted a job before. You'd kind of expressed interest and I was kind of like, yeah, maybe, but like, we're not ready yet. I feel like we've had that conversation a little bit of, you know, we'll let you know when we're hiring, but we don't really have anything right now. And then we just kind of stayed in touch. But so some of the stuff on like talking to sellers, like what does, you know, what were your apprehensions with that? Or like, what were you nervous about? Or, you know, kind of what have you learned through that process? Or maybe just kind of give a little look into what that world looks like of, because I talk about it a lot, but also I'm numb to a lot of it because I've been doing this like 5 years and you know, it's all kind of normal at this point, but you're kind of new to the whole off-market stuff. Like, what does all that look like for you?
Yeah, so I thought a lot of it was going to be like more of how I thought someone offering on my house, like, oh, you're trying to buy my house for 200K and I think it's worth 300. Like, no, get out of here. And we do get that. And then it's actually like, no, a whole lot of this is really messy and sellers going through situations that need solving and we can provide value there to help them with whatever their unique situation is. It's a whole lot messier than I thought. And we've definitely seen some sketchy properties along the way and dealt with crazy sellers. And I mean, I've said before, like, it's wild how in acquisitions you see a trailer in a trailer park that's worth a few grand. And then later that week, you can be looking at like $1 million mansion out in Bernie. And like, wow, you're looking at everything in between on that. So it's definitely, we're casting a wide net and seeing what hits. And I always knew it was a numbers game. And it definitely is a numbers game, but it's also not just, oh, here's our offer and does it work? Yes or no. Okay, move on to the next. It's more of like, does this work? Yes or no. Okay, let's dive deeper into that. And then just because you say no now doesn't mean like a no forever. It means like maybe not right now. And we've seen so many deals that I was surprised that we ended up getting later on just due to follow up. So that's a whole lot of what I've learned doing acquisitions.
Cool. Yeah. And one thing I'll say is you're really good about asking good questions and actually listening too. I kind of give you some crap about bugging me with questions all the time, but you're good about, like, you know, cause a lot of this, it's very people-y, but also like some of it, it's like you get to the point where you've kind of seen it all. Like, oh, this person's saying this, maybe that's probably not real just based on kind of how they're doing this or saying this or whatever. But, you know, I've always appreciated you've actually like really trusted me with like, oh, this is how I should approach this seller or the situation or whatever, you know, with all of that, which has been a lot of fun. And you've gotten pretty freaking good at this stuff, which I don't like telling you, but it's the truth. But so anyway, so you work with us now. Obviously, I'm super grateful to have you. Jason's grateful to have you. You know, you've been super helpful to our team, buying houses, all that fun stuff. But what are you doing as far as like flipping? Are you still flipping houses? What are your plans with that? Like, what does all that look like now? Are you like out of the flipping life and just, you know, back to working for us? Or like, what have you done since then?
Yeah, so started working for y'all almost a year ago. Not yet. I guess it was May 2023. And told y'all from the start, like, eventually you'd want to kind of buy a couple more flips along the way. And seems like, why not work for, I mean, if you're working for an off-market real estate company, like, you may as well take advantage of that. And if some good deals come along the way, then you can buy those. So pretty much humbled myself to work for y'all. And it's been a lot of fun. And once we got to fall of last year, I guess it's one of the perks that you get to kind of cherry pick. So I was like, hey, this house looks cool. I think I'd want to flip it. And that was Font Hill. So we came up with an agreement that made sense. And I was able to buy that flip and wish every flip went like that and got basically in and out, I think in 65 days and made like 40 grand or 35 grand.
Yeah. And I wish we wouldn't have sold it to you. But it's funny too. So JP suddenly like hates rehabs. So, you know, the dude who was like, I'm going to add an addition and pop the roof off stuff and all of that. Now it's like anything that's more than paint. He's like, no, I don't think that's a good project for me. But I mean, honestly, those are the houses we like. So like, I don't blame him.
Yeah.
It's kind of wild because,
go ahead.
No, it's like, I remember before I started buying off market houses, I just assumed they're all like crappy beater houses, but like not everything we buy is nice. We buy some pretty nice houses. That one in particular was like a very nice house.
It was Megan's dream house.
Yeah, it is your wife's dream house, which, you know, you're still probably have to deal with that. But, you know, I mean, we buy nice stuff, right? So, like, that one was built in the early 2000s. Like, it needed some cosmetic stuff, but it's, like, you were done in a few weeks, and it was, like, paint, and you redid the kitchen, which, you know, was fine. Nothing crazy. But, yeah, it's just kind of funny because I'm like, oh, you don't want to, like, do an addition? Like, you don't want to do this one and, you know, like, gut it? And he's like, mm-mm. I don't like those anymore.
Yeah. So obviously those have so much more risk involved. And after seeing my end of it, rehabs double, timelines triple, and things didn't go very good. It's like, okay, I tried that end of the spectrum of full gut jobs, additions, all that stuff. I guess Bridalwood was somewhere in the middle, 60K rehab. So I was like, well, what if I just find something that you can remodel pretty quickly, get in and out, and get it sold quickly? And it doesn't have to be a home run. You can make a base hit. I mean, hey, that's a win. So whenever Font Hell came through, it was like, oh, this thing needs cosmetics. I think I spent maybe 18 grand on that once it was all said and done, maybe 20. And it was just paint, kitchen remodel, some carpet, and made it look cute and got it sold quick. And yeah, so now kind of erring on that side of things with my perspective of flipping, and just want to find stuff that isn't going to be make my life like so stressful. I mean, I want to be able to enjoy it and want to do some projects that make some money. They don't have to be home runs yet, but things that are going to sell quickly and be fun to do. So definitely a whole lot less rehabs.
Yeah. And your one now is like stupid easy too. But it's funny too, because like you're not afraid of like high price points. Like, I don't know. You have risk tolerance probably more than most people, and probably more than most people who've been in your situation should. But you're not afraid of buying stuff that's a little more expensive. So, I mean, I remember when I first started, I thought like if I ever bought a house over $200,000, I'd be insane. Which now we've bought stuff a lot more than that, and that's fairly normal. But like the one, I don't remember what you paid for the one you just bought, but somewhere in the high 300, and it's going to sell for like 500, like. That would have scared me, and you just kind of jump right in. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely excited about this one. Bought it, I think, for $375, planning to put maybe 15 into it. Feel like once it's all said and done, it might be a couple thousand more. And then, yeah, hopefully going to sell for 500, high 400s, and it'll be a base hit after paying fees and everything, and hopefully going to make around 30 to 40 on it. So yeah, should be a good one.
It's not a bad... Not a bad 2 month turnaround.
Yeah, if this one sells that quickly, like the last one, but yeah,
dude, it's in Bernie, and you're gonna be fine.
Yeah, I guess the thing that I still try to balance is like, how nice do you need to make the house? And in today's market, it's like people are kind of picky. So do you spend the extra couple $1,000 redoing the backsplash when it's okay, and do you need to change out all the light fixtures when they fit the house, but they're not super modern? So definitely still kind of battling that to not overspend on the rehabs, but do enough to get the house sold.
Cool, cool. You know, kind of tie this all together. So, you know, you started out, you know, had a job, quit your job, flipped a lot of houses, should have crawled in a hole. You didn't crawl in a hole. Now you're back on the upside again. So from that, like, you know, what can people learn? Whether that's like, hey, I want to do my first flip. Like, what advice would you have? You know, whether that's what to buy, what not to buy, areas to buy, contract. I mean, we can go wherever you want with it, but, you know,
yeah.
Young JP and all of his wisdom and way more experience than he should have. Like, what would you tell someone, you know, getting started?
All right. So I guess I would tell young JP to not worry about making $1 million by the end of the year. And you learn along the way, like your time horizon is going to be a whole lot longer than you actually think it's going to be. And I wish I'd done like just stuck with those house hack move every year and build up some rentals and maybe done a flip along the way and would have ended up a whole lot better off. And definitely don't over leverage yourself and don't go balls to the wall trying to buy a few houses at once when you haven't even done one yet. So I would also say you don't want to do really big rehabs when you're first starting out. And you might think the numbers make sense. It could look like a 70% deal on paper. But once you dive into it, you really don't know how things are going to go until you're in the weeds of it. So I wish I had done a lot lighter rehabs and worked my way up.
Let me touch on that a little bit. I think a lot of times you just don't know what you don't know.
Exactly.
And we see this a lot with, you know, wholesalers sending out deals. And I think some of it's like just bad, but I think a lot of it's more ignorant. And I say that to mean like a lot of these people haven't flipped houses. They don't know that the numbers aren't real because they haven't been in it. They don't know that even a cosmetic rehab is going to cost you 15, 18 grand, whatever, right? they don't know those things just because they haven't done it. So, and I think, you know, that's the scary part. So a lot of this, like, you know, someone sends out a deal, the numbers look really good. And I mean, how are you going to know the difference between an 80 grand rehab and a 100 grand rehab if you've never done one? You're not. I mean, that's the reality with a lot of that is, you know, a lot of it's not, I don't think, intentional. It's just, you know, people just don't know. And until you've done this stuff or, you know, had stuff go wrong or had the city shut down your project and take an extra 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever, you just don't know that stuff. But I think, yeah, I mean, like you said, you know, get your feet wet a little first. Like, everyone's looking for this like monster home run deal when, you know, maybe you do that cosmetic deal that's an 80% deal instead of 75 or whatever, but, you know, you're just painting it, you know? So I think people are always after like, hey, this huge win, when, you know, sometimes you just need to jump in and figure it out slowly. Take a little less risk. Like, I mean, I think you looked at a house today of a dude who tried to flip it in kind of the same situation, right? Like, he's upside down. Contractors ran off the money. It needs more work than he thought. All this stuff, right? So I think that's like, you know, important thing to learn is, you know what you don't know. Like, don't be afraid to ask questions, whether that's me, JP, Jason, anyone, right? Like, we're here to help. And, you know, it's, you may look at that and be like, oh, that roof's $5,000. And I'm like, no, it's $8,000. Like, it's, you know, it's going to cost more than you think it is, right? So, you know, I think that's a good point there. But, you know, I would recommend everyone kind of start with something easy.
Yeah, I would have definitely been a whole lot better off if I just gone for a base hit or two at the start. But
cool. What else you got, JP? What can people learn from you?
Yeah.
Or what would you do different? Whether that's, you know, contractors or, you know, how would you approach that stuff? All that good stuff.
Yeah, I think that whenever I was buying a deal at the start, I would have found a good contractor that actually knew what they're doing and gotten a few bids at the start and found somebody that was going to be trustworthy and going to start work without having to give them draws up front. So we talked about that a little bit in the last episode. And just if you can do that, that's going to help your project go a whole lot smoother and find something that you can get in and out and definitely budget for contingency. But don't go huge on a rehab. So
cool. So as of today, all the private lenders paid back. What's that situation look like?
Yeah.
I'm gonna ask you a hard question.
I'd say, and so to answer it straightforward, no, the private vendors have not been paid back in full yet. They agreed to some long-term payment plans, so paying them on a monthly basis. I think I've got that stuff down to maybe like $20,000 and $45,000. Is what I owe the last two. So about $65,000. And then, yeah, we've got some cash and we own a rental property and we've got this flip going. So I guess if you balanced all that out, I think we're in the positive. So the goal is to pay all of those lenders off early and try to get out of debt by the end of this year. And gonna definitely keep working for you guys and having a lot of fun doing acquisitions and still learning a lot and flip some houses along the way and make some good money to get back on my feet. So
cool, man. So what's the plan from here as far as flipping houses? Like, where are you going? Like, what are your goals? Like, you're obviously on the, you know, kind of upward trajectory now, which is a good thing.
Yeah. So not going to go for the sketchy Eastsider six-figure rehab stuff and going to try to stick to stuff that I could buy and remodel and get out of in a few months. And once this one sells, going to hopefully try to flip four more by the end of the year would be the goal. So I feel like I'd be crushing it if I could knock out five solid flips by the end of the year.
Well, man, well, unless you have anything else, we'll go ahead and, you know, kind of wrap there. This side was a lot more fun to talk about, hopefully for you. But yeah, if you guys want to connect with me or JP or Jason, have any questions or any feedback, we'd love to hear it. Appreciate y'all listening. And JP, proud of you, dude. You're not afraid to jump in and, you know, take on some challenges. And, you know, I would have stopped. Like, I would have not been doing that, but you're a little tougher than I am. So glad you're still flipping houses. Glad you work for us. I think we have fun along the way, but thanks for letting me, you know, ask you some uncomfortable questions. And I think people can learn from this, you know, because I think it's not often you see kind of the bad side of things or what could go wrong or, you know, what that looks like. But also, like, it's cool to see, like, you got through it, you're getting through it somewhere in that process, right? And obviously you're still continuing to grow along the way. So, and that's super fun. So thank you all for listening. Hopefully this was helpful. If you want to connect with us, probably the best place is Instagram. I am at aaron.beal. Jason is at investor Jason Lee. JP, I still don't know your Instagram, so you're going to have to share it.
Yeah, you can reach out to me at jpdesmond97 on Instagram.
Awesome. And if you want to work with us, hit me up. We're wholesaling more deals than we've ever wholesaled. So if you made it this long and you're looking for a flip, you want to be like JP when you grow up, I would love to sell you a deal. If you have a house you want to sell, hit up JP because he's our main dude for that. And that's all we got. We will see y'all next week.